is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Hello and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. This is C.A. Nuri and I am talking Junkanoo today. I'm talking to two of the premier Junkanoos in the Bahamas and I'm going to ask them one or two tough questions. You know, these are the defenders of the faith, right? They know and they live and breathe Junkanoo. They know the culture of Junkanoo. They know the art of Junkanoo. They know the what do you call it, the book version of Junkanoo. And I want to know, where is Junkanoo headed toward? I'm going to critique them, right? To find out, are they doing enough to promote Junkanoo? Is Junkanoo a Bahamian cultural thing? Who does Junkanoo belong to? Is Junkanoo belonging to them, or does it belong to the Bahamian people? Now, mind you, these two men have their own show, and they talk Junkanoo all day. But they tend to take Junkanoo too seriously for me, where they just get offended. They just get boastful. And the listening audience to listen to them as they explain one of the Bahamians' most premier cultural event. And I want us to see if they can convince us that Junkanoo matters. Today I have the two Darrens on, right? You know, unfortunately, I forget their last names, but I know the name Darren. But everyone know them as being Darren. But I'll have them introduce themselves. I'm going to see if they're even going to volunteer to say which Junkanoo group that they pull for, they rush for, right? And not even concentrate on that, because we're talking Junkanoo in general, not Junkanoo from a specific Junkanoo group. But I want them to formally introduce themselves. Darren, the two Darrens, can you hear me? I know you're on Zoom.
Good morning.
Good.
Good morning.
Good. And the second Darren there, Darren?
He stepped away for a minute. He'll be right back.
Let me start off with you. Darren, officially introduce yourself so people can understand which Darren I'm speaking to. And then when the second...
Good morning. This is Darren Farrington. No stranger to the airwaves. Like CA said, we also host a show, Junkanoo 242. Also a participant in the Junkanoo, as he speaks about. I won't tell you which group, but at large, I am Junkanoo.
Yes. And mind you, I want to even speak about the history of Junkanoo, because I know, like I said, you all live and breathe Junkanoo. It's more than just something that you do. This is a culture for you. This is who you are, right? And let's start off with how important is Junkanoo to Bahamiano? And if it is important, right, what should the people in general be doing for Junkanoo in order to get to the next level? You know you're going quiet there, Darren. Did you hear that?
No. I wanted Bastian to introduce himself.
Oh, Bastian's finally there.
He walked away.
He walked away again. Then go back to you.
All right,
again.
There you go.
Good morning, C.A. Nuri. Good morning, Bahamas. Definitely a pleasure to be here this morning. So I'm doing this show and I'm still working. So that just goes to show the resilience of us junkin' news, you know?
I shan't call and tell your boss that you on the show then. Believe us that.
Yeah, that's all right.
And the question was, how important is junkanoo to the Bahamas? And should we be doing more to promote it?
Oh, that's an easy one. When we look at what junkanoo is, I take you just on a history ride. We all know of our ancestors that was brought here by force. Through that middle passage, chained on boat Africa by force to a land that they knew nothing about. Everything was foreign to them. They were enslaved to work. With that, what we had was them having little time, 3 days during what we would know as the Christmas season, to actually have a few days off. One thing we have to remember, what they brought with them is they also brought their traditions. They also brought their culture with them, their practices, where you had ceremonies for marriages, when a baby was born, a man's rite of passage, celebration of a birthday. All of those celebrations was brought to this country as we know it from that motherland. And those celebrations did not really have a chance to really be previewed or exhibited until they had that freedom time. So what we have now is a culmination of all those celebratory events now taking place during that time. Over time, they have evolved and they have had some intrinsic, unique characteristics to them. And now we call that culmination junkanoo as we know it today.
And I'll speak to the next, Darren, because I'm hearing this definition, right? Which is a broad definition of junkanoo. There's a new narrative that junkanoo came from Ghana, right? From a specific tribe of people, right? And I want you loosely comment on it, because I find that different junkanoos have different opinion on the origin of junkanoo. But there's no official book. And I want to know, why haven't any of you, because both of you are educated men, smart men, you're right as a routine, but no one has put any pen to paper to say, well, this is a narrative of junkanoo. And instead, I see picture books.
Okay. Let me take a stab at this, right? We all know that junkanoo came from West Africa, right? No doubt about that. Now, the narrative that it comes from, that it came from a particular place, one place, I find that I don't agree with that narrative. The narrative that you talk about, it came from one place and it started with one man. I find that
John Canoe.
Untenable, right? That's my personal opinion on it. Mm-hmm. I don't see where one single person can be responsible for this festival, well, this way of life that we call junkanoo today. It may be identified from a particular person, but I don't see where one person can take full responsibility for it. No. And so I don't buy that narrative.
And Darren, you do the same thing?
Further to add to that, when you start to speak of one particular place, where junkanoo originated or where it started from. Like I said in the opening, you have a combination of festivals and traditions that came out from that West African area. You have to also look at where were the slaves coming from. One may have left from Ghana, yes, but not all of those people were from Ghana, all right? When they left that particular port, that was because that port was where the ship was. And so they went into other villages in other countries and they stole. They imprisoned other Africans from various different countries and brought them to that harbor where that ship was. So where would the document say this person was coming from if they're leaving from this harbor, even though originally they were not from there?
So
you see my point?
You would say that junkanoo started within the Caribbean or the in the Americas, in contrast to saying that it started in Africa. Is that what you suggest?
No. I'm saying that junkanoo started in Africa, in West Africa, not in one particular country. Because what we know as junkanoo today, there's no one celebration that actually mirrors exactly what we do. It's a combination of all of those celebratory traditions and festivals that those people celebrated. Even when you look at some of the festivals today in Africa, you will see some of the color, you see the dance, you see the music is quite similar, the instruments that they're using. And that is what was transported across that middle passage, as those people brought with them what they knew.
They brought their various cultures and more norms and mores. That's what they did. Simple.
And is there any hope of any written literature from any of you gentlemen, since you have a parallel narrative?
Of course, there's an opportunity for us to share our opinions and continue to do our own research on it, right? So I wouldn't say that there isn't an opportunity for us to spread our narrative as well with anybody, but you know, everybody has their own opinion as to the origin of John Canoe and whatnot. But for me, there's no way that I can see where John Canoe started in one single place. No.
Okay, let's talk politics, John Canoe politics. Who does John Canoe belong to? And I can start off a narrative because I want you to explain this to me.
This is Bastian's favorite question, by the way.
And that's good. He could run out right now.
I
believe that John Canoe belongs to the listening audience, the spectators, right? And I heard a narrative that no, John Canoe belongs to the John Canoes. And I would say, but surely government should control the John Canoe for us people who are sitting down or watching it on TV or who are on Bay Street. And I want to understand, who does John Canoe belong to?
Siri, this sounds like a slave situation you're trying to create again.
Let your answer. You answer that. And like I said, I just want my government control John Canoe for me.
John Canoe belongs to the people of the Bahamas.
Okay, so it does belong to me.
Canoes, right? The government, yes, the government has its interest in the John Canoe parades, right? The John Canoe parades are really just a manifestation of the thing John Canoe can create or has created. So if you're talking about the John Canoe parades, well, we could say, a lot of different people have their stake in the John Canoe parades. But John Canoe itself belongs to the people of the Bahamas and the John Canoes themselves. That's the way I see that.
I want to interrupt you here. We are distinguishing that one is John Canoe, and the John Canoe itself belongs to everybody. And then there's a separate entity called the John Canoe Parade, which is a New Year's Day parade and a Boxing Day parade. And there are different people who have stakes in that.
Correct. And relative to the parades, you have government involvement, you have sponsorship from various people in the business community, any number of people. The NJC would say they have a stake. The JCNP would say they have a stake. Any number of people can say they have a stake in the John Canoe parades. So when we talk about John Canoe, let us not confuse John Canoe with the John Canoe parade.
Parade.
Totally different things, right? And like I say, the parades are only a manifestation of what John Canoe has created.
Okay, then the next question would be, is John Canoe a festival or is it just a parade? And I forgive me for saying the word just. I mean, I just want to contrast it. Because festival tends to be interactive with those who are watching and spectating. And it seems to be a parade. Go ahead.
John Canoe for me is really a celebration of who we are as a people, right? So just to use just intentionally, to just say that it's a festival doesn't give it enough credence, right? Mm-hmm. Because it's bigger. It is so much more than just putting on a costume and parading around. It is so much more than that. It's a lot deeper than that. It's a lot more involved than that. It's a lot more intimate than that. So to say that John Canoe is just a festival, I say no. I say it's more about who we are as a people, where we've come from, and understanding our lineage as well.
So I get the next start. You said John Canoe is who we are as a people. The Bahamas is made up of black and white, or no, let me change it, African descendants and European descendant people, right? Mm-hmm. But it just seems as if only one segment of the Bahamas is celebrating this John Canoe, this culture which you've said belongs to all of the Bahamas. And when I say that, I'm teasing you now so I can get you to come out and basically answer, where are all the white people, where are all the Conky Joe Bahamians on Boxing Day and on New Year's Day if this junk.
I would say wherever they choose to be. There's a lot of people who are of different, like you say, persuasions, who participate in groups and have prominent positions in groups. A few shows ago, we had Nicolette Berthelon. She spoke about a group that was predominantly called the Westerners. And those are groups that are around that were different, we would say, a different hue than ourselves. But there are people who you would say that are not predominantly, quote unquote, black traditional behemoths who participate and participate heavily and fiercely in the jungle parades.
Which jungle group that is? Not one family. No, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to say that. But I mean,
you tried to throw rocks.
But of course. Guess what? But of course.
You saw a socks into me anyway.
But no, never. But I know that Junkanoo is different on the family island. I know that on the family island, more Anglo-Bahamians be poking the bear regarding that, right? But how is Junkanoo different on the family island contrast to New Providence? Because definitely New Providence is the base. And it's spread out to Grand Bahama, it's spread out to Eleuthera, and it's now finally seeping down to the rest of the Bahama Islands moving southward.
As Bastian spoke about the differences between Junkanoo and the Junkanoo parades, in those family of islands, I would say you have that the closest form of that true essence of Junkanoo being manifested. Whereas here in Nassau, they're confined so much to the parades. Those parades have so many rules, so much structure for that parading to take place. They're in the family islands I'm speaking to, is that they're more intimate. They have less people. And so they have that true meaning of letting that music take place, take root. All they use, a lot of them don't have access to the crepe paper, the amount of cardboard, the contact cement that it take to use and construct those costumes. So you know what? They make costumes off of what is near them. The thatch, the plants, whatever they could find, that's what they make their costuming out of. And they are having their Junkanoo parades.
So the second, Darren, you would say that Junkanoo, or the true Junkanoo, is what is manifested on the family island in contrast to what is happening in New Providence?
The true Junkanoo is manifested in ourselves, right? Everybody has the right to celebrate the Junkanoo as they see it, right? So it isn't, so we can't say that, because the parades in New Providence may be bigger than the parades in perhaps Cat Island or Eleuthera or Abaco, that these guys ain't celebrating Junkanoo, right? Junkanoo is something that comes from, and the other Darren and Ali and I had a debate a few weeks ago, and I said to them, you know what? This parade, I should just come in something that's non-traditional and go on parade. Would I be less of a Junkanoo if I do that? Of course I wouldn't be.
You'd be disqualified, but don't go ahead.
So because the costuming does not define who you are as a Junkanoo. Hmm. Right? The costumes that you see today pretty much, I guess, set the standard for what costumes, what Junkanoo was created in, what Junkanoo is manifested in this era.
I understand.
30 years from now, you may not see the same type of costumes.
And Darren, I have a phone call here. Let me get this the listening audience to participate and ask you a question and engage you. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Good to see you. Anyway, how are you doing?
A pleasure, man. How are you doing?
I'm fine. Hey, good morning, Darren.
Hey, super.
How are you guys doing this morning?
It's a delay, so you might have to just engage them so they can listen. Go ahead.
Okay. But anyway, you know something? Come next year, I can make me 80 years you are sitting in Junkanoo. I did my part. You know what I mean? I was the only person in Junkanoo that had police escort calls from the Bay Street. The only person in the history of the Bahamas, a documentary made in my shack, HBO. I could go on and on and on. One of the only leaders in the history of the Bahamas step down and let the young people take over. To honor me and take care of me and give me my piece of land and give me some of the money that I spend back, my millions of dollars. But you guys are the future. You know, the Moses School, the story of this country. I can remember one time ago when this is called a Junkanoo in a bad way, CNUE. Right now, we got darkest Russian Ashok, Commissioner of Police, members of Parliament, Prime Ministers, et cetera, because, you know, Junkanoo is the only thing I keep telling you, keeping this country together. Not the politicians, not the church, not the civil groups, nothing. and you ask where the country Joe Beam is go, they just take their vacation on Jungnu time, man.
Jade, are you still there? Get disconnected? Okay, Jade, you know, is gone. You can respond to Darren.
That gentleman that just spoke, Jerome Johnson, I call him Superstar JJ, right? When I was coming up in Jungnu, JJ was a huge figure, right? JJ, for all intents and purposes, in my mind, truly exemplifies the spirit of what Jungnu is and what Jungnu is about. Yes, he has created a lot of masterpieces from a costume perspective. But did you hear what he said? The people around him are the people that he helped to grow. They helped who are now leaders of some other groups. And to me, that is more important than anything else, because the lessons have been taught they've been taught the lessons by, quote unquote, an elder. And that's important. That is a part of what the spirit of Jungnu is about.
Okay, let's talk about the future of Jungnu, right? Recently, a number of Jungnu groups got property. The government said, hey, man, we give you the crown land. And they decided, or the talk, because I still think it's just talk. The talk is they're going to each build a venue, a place where persons can come and experience the particular group theme or whatever it is. And is this the new way of Jungnu, a specific area stage event? Because I know that in contrast, the government is building its own on Bay Street. And I'm saying, how does that compete with the government version where they say, this is what we're promoting for the cruise ships and whatever tourists, the premier one. And then these other persons are going to have theirs all the way on Gladstone Road doing things.
You want to take that, Farrington?
Definitely. First of all, I respect the fact of the government issuing property, and I think it's a step in the right direction. And I also think that we need to look at, in your earlier question, we need to look at as the importance of Jungnu. First, we need to respect this treasure that we have. Like JJ said, and Bastian alluding, this thing called Jungnu allows for mentorship, it allows for tutelage, it allows for all of these things to take place, and we don't take it serious. One of the things that we need to look at, instead of doing things for tourists, we need to do things for ourselves. We need to understand that this Jungnu, greatest youth development programs that we have in this country, bar none. When you see the guys them line up on Boxing Day and New Year's Day, think about the many young people who are being mentored in dance, in artistry, in musicianship, and they are developing skills like discipline, vision, planning, focusing. There are a lot of people who come to Jungnu organizations, and just being a part of the brass section, from there coming with no information, they're able to learn, gain a skill, perfect the skill, and some of them, along with their academic merits, are able to get scholarships to go abroad to college. That is what Jungnu allows us to do. Bringing it back home, you said the direction that we should go in. What we need to start doing is putting more emphasis on that, so groups can now start to look at areas of how they can become more self-sufficient, and not every year they have to go and look for a sponsor to actually produce this much. By doing that, that will now empower those groups to have more community outreaches, whereas it could be funded. It takes time to create an after-school program centered around Jungnu. It takes time and money. And if you spend all the money on Bay Street to, quote unquote, like you say, produce this product for the spectators in the bleachers who are complaining about a ticket, and we didn't spend all the money to produce it, how are you expect for us to come back to our communities and further empowering them if we don't have the tools necessary? So that is one of the directions that we need to actually put more emphasis on when it comes to the development of Jungnu, in my opinion.
And I want to commend you and Darren, particularly your Jungnu group, and another one, who do a lot of community activities and give back to the community. So I want to say that. But, and you mentioned money. Right now, government doesn't make money. Right now, I could say the groups doesn't make any profit from Jungnu, right? Because you're always asking for sponsorships, and if people don't give no sponsorship, there ain't going to be no Jungnu, right? And even let me bait the question. You come in now, Darren. You come in. Let me bait my question, right? And the enthusiasts, people like me, right? But I tend to wait till John Canoe over and then you all leave the pieces, right? And I say, okay, let me get that and see if I can sell it over. There's no money in it for me, the enthusiasts in John Canoe. What ideas can you put forward to make John Canoe profitable for John Canoe groups, for the government, for enthusiasts, people who are interested in John Canoe? Because I know Carnival making money, but you all ain't making money. Well,
now, let's talk about profit, right? Now, we can talk about monetary profit, or we can talk about human capital. We can talk about profit, so to speak, right? So from that perspective, quote unquote, human profit, right? From the perspective of developing people, John Canoe is extremely profitable because I am a product of John Canoe as well, right? And because John Canoe has been a benefit to my life, I automatically give back as well. So from that perspective, I'd say from a quote unquote human profit side, yes, it's extremely profitable. Financially, no, the groups do not make any money going to Bay Street or coming off Bay Street, because 10 times out of 10, whatever your prize is on Bay Street goes either back into community development programs or it goes right back into paying debt. Mm-hmm. And then the cycle starts all over again. There are pockets of individuals in the jungle community and sometimes in some cases outside of the jungle community who have been able to make some money off of either selling jungle tricks. We have sufficient stores around to prove that, or in situations where somebody like you may go to a shack and you say, man, I want to rush with the best group, one family.
Yes.
Can you construct a costume for me, paste it for me, decorate it for me, and I'm coming back December 24th for my costume, there's a transaction, so that person would have made some money as well, right? So there are pockets where some profits are being made.
Okay, and let's talk of Junkle in terms of a festival, right? And when I say Junkle, I don't mean the overarching one where you say Junkle is in all of us. I'm talking about the parade-oriented one, the advertised thing that the government promotes for the 26th and January 1st. That's what I'm talking about. There are persons who would critique Junkle and say, man, Junkle is not a festival. It's not interactive where people can participate. There is no way that I can go and rent a cowbell and participate last minute or the week before. There's no way that I can learn how to pace whilst other people are rushing. I could be in a corner over there pacing and say, hey, I taking this home to get a souvenir. Mm-hmm. Okay. Is that the future of John Canoe? Is that something y'all are moving towards? Is this being discussed to say, hey, the parade festival that we have now ain't satisfying everybody. It isn't encompassing with the end all or satisfying everybody. Is there any talk about increasing John Canoe to be a festival, for lack of better words?
As I know it at this time, there's always been talk about it being extended to the festival portion of it.
Do John Canoe's want that?
It's not so much do John Canoe's want it, because if, for instance, let's say you have the 10 days of John Canoe, that's in between five before Boxing Day that leads you up into New Year's. The John Canoe's predominantly won't be attending that festival. They'll be preparing their costumes. You understand me? That's like asking, in my opinion, that's like asking the Super Bowl team, will they be participating in the events that's taking a part in the city in the Super Bowl leading up to it? No, they're focused on the big dance. So it's not so much as for the John Canoe participants. I understand your point in widening the net and creating a festival over days. That takes time. Not only does it take time, it takes proper funding. In order to lay that out, you need somebody to put those outlines in place. Right now, predominantly the biggest stakeholder in the John Canoe when it comes to money is the John Canoe participants. Okay, they are digging in their pockets to make this production happen. And they are the lion's share of the north side of some 20 million plus is what you're seeing collectively coming out of their pockets. All right. And we're not discounting what sponsors does for organizations. We're not discounting what the government does for organizations. But let's put the focus where it needs to be. The lion's share of what you see in production of these parades is participants. Okay, that's who pulled the money out of their pocket to make a lot of these things happen. And so right now, in order for that festival to take place, and I think it's a great idea. I think it's a great idea. And the idea is not so much as to have junkanooers, quote unquote, attending those festivals. It's other people who may not be interested in, quote unquote, seeing the artistry of how a costume is constructed, seeing how the pasting is done. I understand that portion. And so I understand why a festival would be a great idea, and I'm all for it.
So next, Darren. Michael Jordan, what a basketball player is? Fox, Rick Fox, right? I'm calling basketball players in general. I'm trying to say VIPs. Don't just change all their names, just to call it VIPs. VIPs come down and experience junkanoo. I have yet to see any VIP go to any Family Island junkanoo ever. They're always on bay.
And I want to know. Don't know anybody in the Family Islands.
But see, my point is earlier you said the real junkanoo is on in the Family Islands. It's rustic. They pace. You know, it tells a tale of where we come from, how we originate junkanoo, and how it's developed. But for some reason, junkanoo seems to just be on bay. I want to know why. Who is responsible for them to Elutra to experience that type of junkanoo? They don't even go to Grand Bahama. That's even a different day. Something is stopping them from experience what I call true, true junkanoo.
It's probably just the unknowing. They probably just don't know.
They just don't know.
They probably just don't know.
So, but let me move on to this. I want to talk something controversial. You need the answer because yours are my friends, right? Valley, let's talk about them. Them boys. They quit.
Okay.
They quit junkanoo. And I want to know how they get back on bay. And if they get back on bay, shouldn't they be having some kind of exhibition? Because I know, but expedition, Russian. And I want to know how quitters get to go back on bay. And how come I didn't call their name. Just going to say, how come they ain't complain? But I mean, how come other junkanoo groups didn't come back to their supporters and say, well, they come and because we have a duty of care to explain to y'all what's going on?
Okay, so the quote-unquote world famous, right, decided that they weren't going to participate in the junkanoo parades for whatever reason.
They quit. Yeah, they quit. That's what quit call.
Yeah. They decided they weren't going to participate. That's their right. That's their choice, right? They came back, and Darren can speak more to this. They came back, I think they put a position on the floor, and the JCNP, which is the Jungle Corporation New Providence, accepted them back based on whatever their proposition was. Darren can speak more to their proposition because he was in the room. I wasn't in the room, right?
The Jungle Corporation of New Providence is responsible for the Boxing Day and the New Year's Day parades. They are made up of all member groups in New Providence. That's A groups and B groups. Everybody sits there, and that's where the rules, the regulations, the standard operating procedures, how things are conducted are done. Everything that happens in the JCMP is happened through a democratic vote. It happens through things being coming to the floor and going through the procedures. With that organization doing what they did, they had to come back to the JCMP, and that shows the power of the organization. Through doing that, there was things put on the floor and the group was accepted back into the organization. That's the long and the short. I mean, we could sit and we could talk about sour grapes and who did what and who did this. At the end of the day, there are some organizations that you don't like the structure in. However, that's what governs the organization. Now, the question to you is, they're back. What are you going to do?
I was going to make noise, but I mean, you're different from me.
What is that going
to
serve
you? They would have had an exhibition and just rushed for fun for that first one and just to prove a point. But I understand. But I just different. I just catch feelings. And you all don't catch feelings inside the junkanoo.
Views on it, which I will not disclose.
We all have our personal views on it. But when you sit inside an organization that is made up of not just your view, and a vote is taken to whereas you're outvoted, the majority rules, correct?
Yeah, that's democracy, eh?
Okay.
Okay, that's how it went. Right now, we're talking to the two Darrens, right? Darren Farrington and Darren Bastian. And we're talking Junkanoo. And the numbers to call if you want to engage us is 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. And of course, you can always text, and I can read that text, which is 422-GR96. And we have a provocative conversation about Junkanoo. I'm teasing them here and there to try find out what they think of the future of Junkanoo. And on the other side of the break, we'll continue that.
I used to think of the bank as my personal ATM machine. If I wanted a new car, new furniture, a weekend trip to Miami, no problem. Just max out the credit card or top up my loan. I was a big baller until I realized that 75% of my salary was going to pay back all those loans. Fidelity's personal financial coaching was the best solution. Fidelity gave me a plan with a debt consolidation loan that has a built-in savings that pays 5% interest. I now only have one low monthly payment, plus money in my pocket. Give Fidelity Bank a call at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352 at any of Fidelity's locations, or visit a website at fidelitygroup.com.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Hi, this is Shivago Lang, host of ZLive, wishing you and your family a very Merry Christmas and a prosperous New Year from Guardian Radio 96.9. FM.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio. And we're having a conversation with the two Darrens, right? But I have an ad to read. Nassau, you've been asking, and John West Shoe Company is finally here, all the way from Freeport, Grand Bahama. We are here to put shoes on your feet. We have got shoes for the entire family and for all occasions, from flats to heels, slides to safety boots. We've got your feet covered. Check us out today in the plaza behind Wendy's, Carmichael Road West. Telephone number 603-SHOE. That's 603-7463. And that's John West Shoe Store Company. And actually, we have someone on the line here who wants to engage the two Darrens. So we'll let those persons come through. Producer Pastor, call it through, please. Caller, can you hear me?
Yes, good morning, Mr. Neary.
Good morning. How you doing? We talking Junkanoo today.
Yes, and I heard it, and this is what I'm calling to sound a little jealous that Bali is back. I mean, I know we all know that y'all are afraid of us, but I mean, come on.
There is only one Junkanoo group, and that is one family.
That's the Valley.
No, that's one family.
No. That's the Valley.
No. Valley quit.
Listen, my 16-year-old can do family. The rest of us, we got to do Valley or that. You know that, husband.
So we can talk about that. I'll ask you a question before I put you on pause and don't talk to you no more.
Anyway. Valley in your belly. That's all I call to say.
You call the big show to say Valley in your belly. producer, disconnect that lady from me, please. See, she don't understand Junkanoo. Now we know who's the best Junkanoo group. And we can see it by what all they do in the community.
CA, regardless of her group affiliation, right now in this country, the country is electrified. We've been on a 2-year parades on Bay Street. We're gearing up for this cultural expression that I feel as though is one of the greatest unifying expressions of culture that we see in this country. Regardless of group affiliation, people are on Bay Street to see and to participate in Junkanoo. You ask about the future and the development of Junkanoo. What we need to do, and when I say we collectively, citizenry, leadership, we need to now start to respect this thing. What do I mean? We need to start to work this Bahamian studies and Jhonkanoo predominantly into our curriculum. We need to make sure that we're teaching this and we're equipping our kids with this information. And I'm not just talking about Jhonkanoo participants. I'm talking about Bahamian studies. I'm talking about who we are, our culture as we know it. I look at one of the greatest platforms for us to exhibit culture. When you look at choreography, there's a Jhonkanoo dance. There's particular cadences that makes up Jhonkanoo.
See, I got to stop you there, Darren.
You know that.
Darren, I got to stop you there. Where can I go and study Jhonkanoo? Where can I go and study this dance you're talking about? Where can I go and study this art form you're talking about? I know in other countries, in the Caribbean, when you talk about their premier cultural thing, it's at a university someplace. And you're talking as if we have this. And I want to know what you're talking. Are you talking just gibberish to me for just gibberish sake?
And this is why I'm saying we have to start to take it seriously. I think it was last semester, Nicolette Bethel herself did a course on Jhonkanoo at UB that was introduced. And I'm looking forward to see how that course goes and even extends itself. This is why I'm saying we need to respect it a little bit more serious and put those studies in place, put that research behind it and create that actual mandate where you can say, hey, let me go and learn about these things and learn more about these things and do that with Jhonkanoo.
Okay.
You're muted, Bastian.
Go ahead, Bastian.
And fundamentally, CA, all of those things that you asked, they're being taught in the shots. They're being taught in the shots. That's the University of Jhonkanoo right there. You go, if you decide any given day or year that you want to learn how to ring cowbells, what's the first thing you do? You go to the shot. That's our learning space. You go to the shot. If you want to learn how to beat a drum, where do you go? If you want to learn if you want to be a part of a choreographed zone, where do you go? You go to the shot.
Again, I know you both, gentlemen. I consider you all as friends, particularly family area. If I wanted, I'm talking about one family in particular now. If I wanted to join, and then, let me extend this to Saxons and Valley Boys and Majors. And
right? Why would you want to join them? I mean,
but I understand. Right. But I have a listening audience and I got to make sure they're involved, right?
No, go ahead.
If I wanted to join a Jhonkanoo group today, right? Is there an office? I don't want to go to the shack. I mean, is that what I have to do? Say, boy, I won't rush, right? I won't rush. I won't be a free dancer. I won't blow one whistle, right?
When you sign up, for instance, if you wanted to join Rotary or Kiwanis or Boy Scouts or you want to join canoeing, there's, you understand, is the way that they do things, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So Jhonkanoo does things differently. No, they don't. The office is the shack. That's the office.
Okay.
That's where the administration hang out. That's the office. It's the shack print because Jhonkanoo is different. All right, so no, you don't look for four walls and a plaque on the wall. No, there is there's a shack. Every group has a headquarter shack or what they'll call the main shack. And let's be real. If you're interested in joining any Jhonkanoo organization, I'm sure you're probably five people or three people away from knowing how to join that organization in this country.
Agreed.
You know somebody, or you work with somebody, or you could drive past a shack and you stop.
Okay, let's talk about the port and what the government has proposed or what is being proposed for the port, which is going to be some kind of arena. I'm not sure if you heard that too. What's going to be some type of arena where tourists who come off the cruise ship can go and experience Jhonkanoo, right? And I would like to know because I know you're a senior man. Even if you're not intimately, you would have heard the talks or as the overall action or what they plan to do. Have you heard any talks about it?
Personally, no.
I understand that yes, it's going to be a place where tourists and locals alike will be able to go and get a real experience of what Jhonkanoo is and the significance of Jhonkanoo to the Bahamian culture. That's the best way for me to answer that.
Okay. And what about the movement of Junknu off Bay? Would you even entertain that?
What do you, pardon me?
The movement of Junknu. I gotta ask the tough questions, right? The bleachers interrupting commerce, right?
Y'all want to stay on
Bay Street all day from night until the morning. Junknu gotta move.
Okay.
No, don't rush now. Y'all gotta answer the question. Don't rush.
No, he said move where?
Move to the marina thing, the thing where they build in the port. You just move into there and you'll rush around that circle.
Oh, okay.
Good answer.
Siri to CA to answer your question. Everybody's directly stuttering. He alluded to it further in his comments when he says that this thing right here has intangible profits that we gain from it. You say, people, you're interrupting commerce. Mm-hmm. I hardly know of any tourist that says, I'm coming on a cruise, I'm going to take a vacation, and my agenda when coming to the Bahamas is to go shopping. Mm. People visit our destination to see us in our natural state, to see how we celebrate what is indigenous to us. And we're moving away from that, and that's why we're having so much competition, because all we want to do is what's different, what's indigenous to them. You don't go to a country and say, oh, this food don't taste like the Bahamas. That's the purpose of you going to that country, to taste how they do food differently. My point to you is this. Our Junknu expression is a part of us, and that's what we do in the Bahamas. People come to visit us to see that, period.
I have another caller who wants to engage you. Let me patch them through so we hear what they're saying. Go ahead, caller.
I'm pleasant. Good morning, Mr. Dury.
Go ahead. You finally get through. I know you've been complaining.
I don't know who's answering the phone. I didn't. You are the producer, but 3236232 is just ringing off the hook.
But you're online now.
Yes, thank you. Good morning. I know what you're trying to say. Darren, can you hear me?
It's a delay. So you just have to talk, and then they'll respond after you finish.
They're on the Zoom. Anyway, yes, Darren Bastian. That's my cousin, you know, from Taylor Street, you know. Darren is a baby to me, you know. And you know, Darren, when you talk Junknu, you know. 1958, I carried the banner and bought the Body Boys for his banner. And you know I'm Granny. And I know Ramen, whoever we got, Bastian, Ramen, Pindler, down at the little house across the road from the church, Taylor Street. We go back for Amherst and Louis. Darren, now you know you can get a spanking, though.
I can't hear you, Sparky.
You can't hear you gonna get a spanking? You hear that yet?
Sparky.
You know what the Body Boys can do, though. What are y'all? Listen to me.
I'm here. Go ahead, Sparky.
Body in your belly or nothing. Have a good day, guys.
You know I was gonna hang him up, but I said, let me let Sparky speak, even though he talked about this black lying, valley this, valley. But anyway. One family or nothing. But let's continue. You know?
Yeah.
Let's continue. Six-packed warriors. Anyway, let me continue. I assume that both of you are Russian come Boxing Day.
That is the plan, indeed. We owe it to our ancestors.
Okay. And I have another caller. There was one call when it's the time up. Let me speed through this caller. Pass the caller through. Go ahead, Carly. You have to make it quick. Time up.
Okay. Good morning. Nuri, I just want you to tell the wife I'm coming for my wine, but I'm stuck in traffic. I'll be there about 15, 20 minutes.
I'll hold the wine for you. No problem. Good. Next, I want to know, before you go, and I have like basically 2 minutes to go, I want to know the future of Junknu practice. They're saying that the Junknus can own Junknu practice, and that festival itself, we're talking about, where food, the artistry, the buying the trinkets can be sold at a Junknu practice. Is this something that you can entertain?
Yeah, when you look at a lot of the Junknu practices now, that's exactly what's happening. You go out there, well, every group has its practice based on what time of the year it is, and people come, and there's any number of things on sale, food, Kool-Aid, Junknu paraphernalia, that kind of thing. So I think that's going to continue to develop to a point where I will not be surprised if practices become paid events. I would not be surprised by that.
She's going to charge me to listen to One Family. Oh, people is harsh. Anyway, the One Family girls, they ready?
Ready.
Ready. Do they have any new chant?
Ready, huh?
No, any new chant?
Okay, we can't share that yet.
Man, chocolate like 2 days. No chat. You can't. So you must have to inbox me the chat, so I won't be able to see it, so I can make it people think that I'm part of the group.
And see, I ain't worried about these people beating up their gums.
There you go. There you go. And right when Kendra come inside, don't worry, Kendra just reached her. No Saxon. Don't worry, but this, I feel it now. Kendra, don't come inside it, Kendra. Warriors, Kendra.
Damn. I mean, a fish. This is my quote. A fish is a fish is a fish is a fish. I know many other ways who are bring fish. Fried fish, boiled fish, new fish.
Yes.
It's still fish.
It's still fish. I enjoyed you too. I enjoyed you tremendously. Thank you very much for joining me. I want to talk Junkanoo again. And I bring Ali in so I can poke her too. I want to poke her. We can arrange this after One Family wins a Junkanoo. Right, because you see Kendra looking at me. But after your win one day, we'll bring you back on and we'll talk about how we mash up Valley and how we mash up Saxons. Right? Good. Have a wonderful day, man. This is Guardian Radio in the AM with C.A. Nuri, and we had the two Darrens, that's Parrington and Bastian. And we was talking Junkanoo in general and what Junkanoo should look like, what is Junkanoo culture, and what we are as a people. Have a wonderful day. Take care.